Writer Christine Lasik grew up in Michigan, and even though she now lives down south, her roots here continue to influence her work. She's just published her first collection of short stories, and she's called it Love Letters to Michigan. Current State Scott Pohl talked with her about her work. If she isn't in Michigan these days, Scott, where is she living?
Well, Mark, after earning a BA in English from the University of Michigan, Christine Lasik moved to Florida a few years back, where she earned a master's degree. Athens, Georgia is her home now. I asked Christine Lasik about the theme here, love letters to her home state.
Well, when I started my MFA program, I did an MFA at the University of South Florida in Tampa. I'd really never left Michigan or lived outside of Michigan. And, you know, prior to leaving, I don't think I considered myself a Michigan writer per se. But, you know, suddenly I'm in Tampa, Florida, and it's hot and wet all the time. And suddenly I'm writing about, you know, fall leaves and cool nights, and Michigan just really seeped into all of my work. I mean, almost as palpable as a character in a lot of ways.
How long have you been away from Michigan?
It's been 5.5 years.
And you're in Athens, Georgia now?
I am. I'm the academic professional for the University of Georgia. There's a PhD program in creative writing here.
Tell me about how living in Southeast Michigan, growing up in Michigan, including spending time working on a BA in English from the University of Michigan, how did all of that shape the writer you've become?
You know, I write a lot about people. All of my writing is about people, people I've met and people I hope to meet, and I feel like, you know, as people, we are shaped by where we come from. And, you know, my stories are all populated by lower middle class people in the suburbs of cities. And I think that this is very much reflective of where I come from.
There are 7 stories in your book, Love Letters to Michigan. Tell me about some of your favorite characters in the book.
Oh, my favorite characters. You know, I feel like all of my characters, you know, they kind of come from all walks of life. You know, there's an elderly woman who's an ex-nun, and she's trying to cope with the death of her sister. There's a young man who's kind of trying to wend his way through life when he decides to not go to college, but all of his high school friends do go to college. And I feel like, in a way, you know, maybe more than anything else, they're all sort of reflective of me and some of my struggles of, you know, who am I? Why am I here? And I think in that way, the protagonists of all these stories, you know, kind of speak to me in different ways, and I've come to really kind of love all of them. So, they're all struggling, and in that way, they're kind of all my favorites.
Well, I want to ask you about one specific character because you've agreed to do a reading for me.
Sure.
The character is a single mom in Troy named Amber. Tell us about Amber.
Yeah, so in some ways, Amber is inspired by a gal I met when I was in my MFA program. She was a girlfriend of one of my colleagues in the program, and she's amazing. You know, she was a single mom, and, you know, she was working at sales jobs and being an awesome single mom, and yet she's hanging out with the weird writer folks and kicking it with us, and I was just really, I don't know, inspired by her and intrigued by her. And, you know, part of writing, I think, is, you know, trying to understand other people, other lives, you know, and wondering what their lives are like. And so while she very much kind of planted the seed for the story, I think my Amber is very different in that she's less sure of herself and less sure of her place. So it's kind of started with somebody very strong, and she turned into somebody kind of questing, but I don't know. I'm really happy with how the story came out.
The section you're going to read for us from your story, I Don't Belong Here, tells us about Amber's morning routine.
Yeah. Yeah, she works at a Bed Bath & Beyond, and she's got two sons, and so this we're kind of seeing what her morning is like. Corporate keeps track of what time the alarm is turned off in the morning, so I leave the house at 7:40, even though work is only 10 minutes away, to make sure I'm always here on time, even when traffic is backed up for four blocks with folks trying to get on the expressway. My sons, David, 7, and Gary, 9, stay with Mrs. Sawicki next door until the bus comes at 8:05. Mrs. Sawicki's wardrobe is made entirely of pastel-colored nylon robes with front pockets containing safety pins, Kleenex, and crumpled packages of her beloved Dorel cigarettes. The robe she was wearing this morning was pink and had scratchy-looking yellow lace around the neck. She held the door open for the boys with one blue-veined hand, a lit cigarette smoldering in the other. "You know where the TV and cookies are," Mrs. Sawicki said. The boys trooped into her vestibule, shedding their shoes and jackets. "You got a minute for coffee, Amber?" She always asks the dear, even though I never have a minute. "Not today. Thanks for keeping an eye on them." "They're good boys," she said, taking a drag from her cigarette and ashing it carefully into the box head next to the door. "They're keeping an eye on me."
Very nice.
Thank you.
Christine Lasick, reading from I Don't Belong Here, one of the short stories in her collection of short stories called Love Letters to Michigan. I want to ask you about your locales, because frequently when people write fiction about Michigan, they wind up fictionalizing the communities, but you write about real places like Troy and Clawson in your short stories.
Yeah, I feel like I use the real place and then I fictionalize all the people. I feel like Michigan is so diverse and there are so many different communities there. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way about the places where they grew up. But Michigan and Southeast Michigan especially is where I grew up. And there's just all of this diversity there. And I just, you know, telling stories and then setting them against these backdrops of these very real places is, for me, I think what really sort of makes some of my writing sing in a way.
You have 7 stories here. Do you have more stories based in Michigan, perhaps, taking shape in your head these days?
I do. I definitely do. My next project will probably be a second collection of short stories. And, you know, my dad likes to joke about whether or not my second collection will be, you know, love letters to Florida, since I spent, you know, 5.5 so years there. But I don't know. I think Michigan is still sort of taking center stage as far as my fiction goes for right now.
Would you expect a book with a title like Love Letters to Michigan to have an audience outside Michigan?
You know, I think so. You know, I think one of the awesome things about reading any kind of fiction, really, is the ability to step into somebody else's life. You know, fiction and even nonfiction and poetry and all creative writing has the ability to sort of, you know, build these bridges of understanding and you know, create empathy with your reader. And I would hope that, you know, whoever picks up this book, whether they're in Michigan or outside of Michigan, will read the stories and find something to relate to and find something to identify with. And even if it's not what I intended as the writer, I mean, it's really no less valid of a reading because once I write it and I put it out in the world, it really stops being mine and it starts being the reader's.
I'm always interested in the images that people choose for their book covers, and your book cover shows a slightly damaged, older-looking photo of a man pointing a camera at me, the reader. Can you explain the choice of this image for the cover of your book?
Yeah, that's actually my dad on the cover. Yeah, it's a photo that he took. He had a split-frame camera. We anticipate it was around 72, 73. And he had the split-frame camera, and he took a lot of photos. He was a student at the University of Michigan, and so some on campus, some in Detroit, where he grew up, just photos all over the place, and I really loved always kind of going back and looking at these old photos. And this one always really spoke to me. Once the book was, you know, selected for publication and I had a little bit of freedom with how the cover would look, it really was a no-brainer going with this photo.
How special for your dad?
Yeah, I think he was pretty excited. You know, my parents and my whole family really are so supportive of me and my work. I worked for 8 years in Detroit. I worked for WXYZ TV Channel 7, and I worked for Crain's Detroit Business, among some other places, prior to pursuing an MFA. And, you know, I think it was mixed excitement and anxiety when I told my family, I'm leaving my career to get a degree in creative writing. But they've always been so supportive, and so having this first collection is really I feel like I'm sharing it with my whole family because they've just supported me all along.
Love Letters to Michigan is the first collection of short stories published by Michigan native Christine M. Lasik. Thank you, and good luck with the book.
Thank you so much.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.